by prefacing my message with just a few thoughts relating to this series and relating to this message. Some of you are here today for the very first time. Others of you have been coming for only a couple weeks, maybe a month. And you're the type of individual that I affectionately refer to as a seeker. An individual who is seeking to understand more about God, investigating the claims of the Christian faith, looking for answers to your spiritual questions. This is the primary reason that Evergreen Community Church exists, is to give the seeking individual the opportunity to investigate Jesus Christ in a non-threatening, non-confrontational, warm, caring environment. Many of the rest of you have been coming for several months, 5, 6 months, a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years since we started. And when you first started coming, you were also a seeker. You were looking for answers. During your time that you've been coming here to Evergreen, you've discovered that answer. You've discovered for yourself that Jesus Christ was the answer you were looking for, and you've come to know Him in a personal way. This series and this message today in the next 2 weeks is designed for you. It's designed for the individual who is past that seeking stage in their life and has come to that point that they have embraced Christ and accepted Him personally in their life. I say that because some of you here today may be at different points in your life, and I do not want any of you to feel pressed or confronted to a challenge at a different point in the road than you are. I designed this specifically for those of you that have already made that choice of Christ. And now you have some things that you need to think about. I felt there were some things I needed to share about if I cared about you, which I do. Brent and I felt there was things we needed to communicate with you. I'd also like to ask you to bear with me today if I get a little passionate. I feel very strongly about the things I'm sharing with you in this series. I feel very fervently, very intensely. In fact, what I talk about today, I may feel the most strongly about of anything I believe or feel. So I wanted to ask you to bear with me if I get a little passionate. I want to share with you today how you can make your life count. The primary way, the primary focus that God intends for your life on this planet. You'll know when you leave today exactly the focal point and the goal of your life. The next 2 weeks after this will fill in exactly how you do it. Some of the method. Today, we'll talk about the goal and the purpose of your life. If you and I look out at the world today, we see a world that is full of turmoil. We see a world that's chaotic. We see a world that's desperate. We see an awful lot of cruelty in our world. We see a lot of lonely lives, a lot of emptiness, a lot of hurt. And you know, we don't have to look very far to find those things I just described. It might be your next door neighbor. It might very well be the person across the street from you. We tend to think, when we think of problems, we think of third world countries. I want to tell you that I hope you see past the facade of America. And I hope that you see past the pretty faces and the pretty clothes into the lives and the hearts of people. We live in a very painful world. Right here, right in the Twin Cities, right in your neighborhood, right at your job. We see the broken hearts. We see the hurt. People out there today are hurting in more ways than one. Their lives have been broken often by their family upbringing. Their lives have been broken by the choices they've made in life. Our society has no values. Our society has no real, I think, understanding of where they're going. And we see a lot of young people, middle-aged people, older people whose lives are just empty. and hopeless, and they've bought into the system, and they bought into what was said to be true, and all they got was what I shared with you last week, was a taste of cotton candy, and then it's gone, and all that's left is the painful aftertaste of wrong choices. It is this same world that God sees. God sees the same world you and I do, and God loves the world that you and I live in. God loves this world so much, He was motivated so much by His love that He sent His Son Christ to this planet. Jesus and God had a plan. A plan to help man, to save mankind. And that plan was in the Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ came and He was born and He lived in what must have been to God the cesspool of humanity. And He lived here and He breathed here. And Jesus Christ spent 33 years of His life for other people. He spent 33 years of His life sharing the message of God's love with people. That was the focal point of His life, and then it ended when He accomplished His mission by dying on the cross. Why? To exchange His life for our life. Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many." We were held hostage by this world system. The world is held hostage by its unbelief, its disbelief. And Christ came to set us free from our disbelief, from our hurt, from our pain, from our sin. He came to exchange His life. That was the grand plan. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." As far as God is concerned, He looked down on this world and He looks down at today, and what He sees is a multitude of people in a valley of decision. He sees a multitude of people that are lost. As Jesus said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And it broke His heart, and it still breaks His heart today. The Bible tells us God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. That's how much God loves you and I, in the world we live in. There's another reason that Christ came. It's a reason that He understands more than any of us in this room today. You see, He and God understand that the stakes are very, very high regarding this message. Let me explain to you what I mean. I have many people that come up to Brent and I and they'll say, "You know, Evergreen is so neat because it relates to where I live. And you talk about subjects that relate to my everyday life, to the here and now." I hear that very often. And I say, "That's great. That's exactly one of the reasons we designed Evergreen Community Church. Jesus talked about things that relate to here and now, but I want to share something with you. Your here and now only lasts maybe 30 or 40 more years. And after that, you and I face eternity. For infinity." I was telling Brent this morning as he came back out of the announcements, he was teasing about getting older. I said, "Hey, you know, doesn't bother me. I am infinite." "You're talking to Mr. Immortal." You see, Mr. Forever Youthful. Okay, I don't care what this body does. I know what my spirit does. As Paul says, our outer man decays day after day. That's a given. But our inner man is renewed day by day. We live on forever. You see, that's the major lie of this world. You don't just go to the grave and turn back to dust. You don't just come back in another life as a tree. Or maybe a cow. Or maybe, if you've been really good, a Rolls Royce. Those things are fantasy, my friends. You and I are eternal beings. And we will spend eternity either forever with God in heaven or forever apart from God in hell. And Jesus made no bones about this. If you believe anything about the Lord Jesus, if you believe He was God, you must believe He's God in order to believe in Him. He would never, ever, ever lie to you. He talked as much about hell as He did about heaven. If you read the Gospels, it's a very real place. You see, my friends, the stakes are very, very high. There are three things in life that are eternal. All right? I asked you last week to think about what could you do with your life that would make it last forever? What goes on forever? There are three things. God. God goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. He never ends. He never had a beginning and He never had an end. He is. That's why when Abraham asked what his name was, he said, I am. I am that I am. I've always been and I always will be. You don't have to understand it. We've not been given the mental capacity to quite comprehend that. We must believe it. The second thing that's eternal is God's Word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And the third thing that's eternal is the person sitting next to you. And the people that you work with on your job, and the people that live next door to you, they will go on forever. Everything else will disintegrate when the Lord comes back. And you'll watch it. It'll be one gigantic incinerator. And it'll be gone. Every mansion, every home, every dollar, every car, every toy, it'll be gone. God, Christ, His Word, and people last forever. So, you want to make sure that you're living your life for God according to His Word, investing it in other people. Now, Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this, and He lived every day of His life. Why? To attract people to God. Why do you think Jesus healed people? He healed people because He cared about people. He went out of His way to care about people. Why? Just so that He could heal them? Just so for 30 years they could walk once again and then die? No. His exclusive reason for doing it was to validate that what He was saying was the truth. Jesus said, he who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Jesus said, I am the life of men. I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who eats from me will never go hungry. Jesus was talking about our spiritual life and our eternity. It is the most important choice in the world. It is the most important decision in the world. And by the year 2000, there will be approximately 6 billion people on this planet. And billions of them have never, ever heard the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus told His disciples, He said this. One day He was walking along the shore. And He saw Peter and John and their buddies fishing. This was their business. He saw them fishing. And they pulled back into shore and they were unloading their boats and taking out the nets. And it had been a depressing day. There had been no fish to catch. Jesus walked up to him and He said, guys, get back in your boats and go back out and put your nets in again. Peter, being the mouthy one of the bunch, said, Lord, look, we fished all night, but, back off, Lord. Okay, if it's your bidding, we'll go do it. We'll try it again. And I know in the back of his mind, it's like, okay, Lord, we'll try it again, but, we got you on this one, Jesus. This is our area of expertise, Lord. And there weren't any fish. They went back out into the lake. They put down their nets. Their nets were instantly so full that they could barely get them up into the boats, and when they did, the boats began to sink. Peter immediately comes back to shore, throws himself on the ground, and said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I'll tell you, Peter found out real fast who Jesus really was. And Jesus put His hand down to Peter and said, Peter, get up. Hey, Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. That to me is one of the most profound statements in all of the Bible. From now on, Peter, I've got a new plan for your life. Your fishing life, it's over. I've got a new plan for your life. A plan to fish for men and women's lives. There is nothing more important in the world than the mission and the cause of Jesus Christ. Everything else in life is secondary to people. And Jesus instilled that in His disciples over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know how He did it? He gave them a few commands, and He lived it every day that they were with Him. He made it very clear by the way He lived. Peter, I'm not into money. Peter, I'm not into possessions. Peter, I'm into people. People are all that matter to me. Peter, I want them to be all that matters to you. Peter, I want to change your lifestyle. Peter, I want to change your vocation of life. Peter, I want to change, and to the 12, I want to change your focus of life. I want you to go out. He said, I have come to preach good news to the poor. And Jesus kept moving from one place to the next because He knew He only had 3 years. If Jesus Christ means anything to you, if you've come to know Jesus Christ, if you've experienced His forgiveness, if you understand His love, the only reasonable thing that you could want to do is what Paul says in Romans 12. In view of His mercies, I urge you and plead with you and I beg you and I appeal to you. Give your life as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice your life now for your future life. Sacrifice it now. Give it up now. One of the passages in the Bible that God used in my life 15 years ago, more than any other verse that I've ever read, was a verse written by the Apostle Paul. I identify in the Bible probably with Paul more than anyone else. Probably because he was violent. He was a very passionate guy. He was a zealot. I see him having the same weaknesses that I do. I also see him having a real sense of emotion. People really mattered to him. He says in one place about the church that he worked with, he says, night and day for 3 years I did not cease warning you with tears. He was an emotional guy. I just sort of relate to him. And I remember reading this passage. It was a statement he made about his life. And he's telling it to a group of people that he was helping in the church leaders. And he said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. If only I might finish the race and accomplish the task that Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. I'll tell you something personal about me. My life doesn't mean anything to me. The only thing that matters to me is that you all come to know Jesus Christ, and that your friends come to know Jesus Christ, and that your family comes to know Christ, and that this world comes to know Christ. It's all that matters to me. My life has no other significance to me other than that one exclusive thing, and that those that then come to know Him grow up in Him and go back out to win more. This message is the hope of the world. We look at the crisis right now. You may think this is simplistic. Jesus did not think this was simplistic. The crisis in the Middle East right now could be totally solved if every individual would come to Jesus Christ and bow their knee to Him, because Jesus said He breaks down the wall of enmity between people. Racial problems are solved in Jesus Christ. Loneliness is solved through Jesus Christ. Self-esteem is solved through Jesus Christ. This message is the most awesome, powerful message in the world. It is the most important truth in the world. Every other truth pales in comparison to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is great news. You think about it. Being able to be forgiven for everything you've ever done or ever will do. Getting off scot-free because Jesus paid for all of our wrongs. Knowing that our life can count now and we can make an impact in eternity. And knowing we don't have to be afraid of death. I'll tell you, an answer for eternity is the secret to life. If you're worried about tomorrow, how can you live vibrantly today? Until you have an answer for tomorrow, you cannot live vibrantly today. Christ changes people's lives. And I ask myself over and over again, I evaluate what I'm doing with my life next to that. What am I giving my life for? You see, my friends, here's the question. The question is not what will you have to show for your life when you're 80 years old, but who will you have to show for your life when you're 80 years old? Not what will you show, but who will you show? Whose life is going to be changed and be brought into the kingdom of God because of your life? Let me explain to you how this works. One time Jesus was talking with His disciples and He said this. He was giving them a little lesson on money. And he said this: use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when your money fails, your friends will welcome you into eternal dwellings. For no man can serve God and money. I like what Billy Graham said. He said, there's nothing wrong with having $1 million. It's only wrong if you keep it. You understand what that means? I want to tell you something, brother and sister. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much money you have. If you keep it for yourself, your life might be comfortable. Your life might be at ease. Your life might be luxurious. But when you die, your money will be gone, and all that it could have meant for God will be gone. You see, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. And there's nothing wrong with having a boat and a cabin. My question is, what are you doing with your boat and your cabin and your cars and your money? Are you using it to butter people up for God? Do I have to be blunt? That's exactly what I'm saying. Are you using it to win and influence people for Jesus Christ? The whole reason, let's get back to Jesus. The whole reason Jesus healed people was not just to make them well physically, it was to attract them to His message. The whole reason, tell you a little secret here, the whole reason the band plays that style of music, I wear this style of clothes, I wear my hair like this, is so that people come in here and they won't write us off as another fanatic, crazy, Bible-beating Christian. That's the secret. I am not talking about being a Bible-beating person who stands down on the corner and beats everybody over the head with the Bible. If that worked, I'd do it. It doesn't work, does it? Those of you who have had that happen to you just wanted to blow their heads off or walk away or go, oh my goodness, oh, there's one of those Christians again. Now, I'm not saying that in certain instances that won't work and that might not be a good idea. I mean, I guess you have to understand. I want to give you a little understanding here to some Christians' minds, friends. Because if you understand how high the stakes are, like I do and what I'm talking about this morning, you understand sometimes people's zeal. You know, you understand that if I really had the cure for AIDS and the cure for cancer and nobody believed me, I'd probably get on the street corner and try to put it in people's mouths myself. And maybe after a few people started to live, after I forcibly fed them, then someone might believe me. So you see, I understand a little bit people's zeal. But what God wants to do is make Christ attractive. Every one of you can be involved in that. God wants every one of your lives, your possessions, your resources to count for heaven. It can happen if you decide to commit yourself to that. It can happen. Jesus said this, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. See, that's what it means to lose your life for Christ. It means you lose it for people. You don't just go through life doing your agenda, doing what you want. This is the agenda of God. The very last message that Jesus gave to His disciples on the mountain before He left, He just sort of elevated off the planet, was this. Guys, all authority has been given to me. Guys, I call the shots. I'm God. I'm the head. I'm the chief. And here's what I'm telling you to do. Go, therefore, into all the world and preach the good news of Christ and make disciples in every nation and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and teach them to do exactly what I taught you to do. So the process continues throughout the generations of time. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the saddest thing to me today is what I told you again last week is supposedly 20 million Christians in this country who are sitting on their fannies, who are playing their games, who are messing around with life and could care less for their neighbor. And the world goes on as it has since the first century because nobody's taken it seriously. My friends, this is serious. I am very serious about what I'm saying today. If this kills me, I'll do it. If nobody goes with me, I'll do it. at least my life will have counted. God wants your life to count. You know, let me reflect on something with you for a moment. Once every 4 to 5 years, the average American moves. We move for our health. We move for a new job opportunity. We might make $1,000 more a month, so we move. We uproot our family and we leave. We might move for a variety of reasons. Would you move for God? Are people's lives important enough to you that you would move for them? Or is your life more important than others? Is your life more important than God's? You know, Brent and I, and those of people who moved up here with us to the Twin Cities, we didn't move here for our health. I didn't move here for great economic benefit. I certainly didn't move here for the climate. And I didn't move here because I love mosquitoes. I moved here for you. We moved here because we wanted to reach out to this city, this metropolitan area, for Jesus Christ. We felt there was potential here. As we looked at the situation, we thought to ourselves, who is really cracking the nut? Who is really reaching out to the unchurched so that they want to get involved? They want to come to Christ. Now, I know there are many people who are doing what they believe is best, and that's great with me. But when I look out on this city and on the United States, I go, Lord, my vision, our vision, Brent and my vision is to start thousands of these kind of churches. To raise up thousands of pastors to go on and do the same thing we're doing. Why? Because it's fruitful. Because it's effective. Because this life is the only life that matters. I am not telling you, I don't want anyone to misunderstand me today, that you should go out and quit your job tomorrow and do what I'm doing. All I'm saying is you should have the same goal that I have. The same goal that God tells us all to have. That from now on, when you go to work, you're thinking, I think I'll go to lunch with so-and-so today. I might even buy them lunch just to befriend them. Hey, I know so-and-so and their wife, you know, we go up to our cabin. How many times do we go to our cabin all alone? Are we going on our boat all by ourselves or with the same people we've known for 50 years? Why not take someone who doesn't know the Savior? Why not get to know them and befriend them? You know, I have primarily two purposes for every relationship that I have. The first one is to win them to my Savior and to love them and to make sure they know I care about them. Because then they'll believe God cares. I want to tell you something, Christian. Our world is sick of words. They want to see it in your life. They want to see you really care and you meet them where they're at and you accept them like they are. So I do all kinds of things that some people would think are a little weird. Some people might even think they're wrong. I don't really care. What I care is about the fruit. The second reason I have relationships is to build them up in their new relationship with Christ. Those two. Paul said we teach and admonish every man that we might present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I labor, he says, to the point of exhaustion according to his power which so mightily works in me. That's the only significant purpose for living. I want to ask you, why are you living? Whose life has been changed because of you? If you look back on this year, not what can you show for this year, but who can you show for this year? What individual has been brought to Christ through your life? You know, I want to share one other aspect that will help you understand how you can do this. We're going to get into this in real detail in the next 2 weeks. This church is designed primarily so that you can go out in your sphere of friends, invite them to a church that I promise you 9 times out of 10, they will like. They won't feel confronted. They won't feel put on the spot. They won't be asked to walk down this aisle. And they won't be asked to give money. And they'll be able to relate to the music. This situation that we've worked to create helps show people we really care. We mean what we're saying. We do the messages that we do. Every one of them, the goal of every series that I do is to end up with the message of Christ. To show them that the Bible is believable, the Bible is relevant to their life, and then share with them now, in order to really have that kind of life, you need Jesus in your life. That's the whole purpose of everything I say on this particular meeting. So one of the ways that you can make your life count is by helping to fill this auditorium. Because you see, we're working together as a team. We're in this together. In a month and a half, we're going to start a Friday night service in addition to this service. Make it your goal to help us fill it. Our goal together is to reach this city for Christ. Our desire is to see this church grow to the thousands and have an impact, a loving, caring, winsome impact on this city, on this state, and on this world. You can be involved with that. But I want to ask you this morning to really evaluate your life. I asked you this last week. I want to ask you again this week. Is this the purpose of your life? Is this the purpose of your family? I was sharing with my children the other day in our little morning devotion time. You know, children, there's one primary reason Daddy is raising you, and I don't ever want you to forget it. That's so that you'll grow up to know Jesus and to passionately and fervently and radically take Him to the world you and I live in. If I fail in that, I have failed. I feel that if I fail in effectively passing this on to you, I have failed. My desire is that everyone in this room would have the equal passion for the world around us to reach them. See, we're a team here. Some of us may have better skills in one area than another. We may have certain gifts in another. That's all right. The point is, winning is our goal. Winning others is our goal. We all fit together and we contribute. 84% of every person that comes to Christ came to know Christ through a friend, a relative, an associate, or a neighbor. You don't have to go out and stand on the corner. You don't have to go out and go, here's a tract. You need to know Jesus. Take this quick. All you have to do is be loving, be a person. This is the whole reason I did the series, be a person people like and admire. Be that kind of an individual. Have loving speech. Work to seek out those who do not know Christ. Invite them here and let them watch your life. And I'll tell you something, they'll come to Christ. And your life will have had relevance. And when you get to heaven, there may be people you want to get there before you, and they'll be there to shake your hand. I want to share with you, there is nothing more meaningful in my life than you people in this room, than the people outside this room. There's nothing more fulfilling in the world than to know your life is counting for other people. I've often asked myself, there's people in this room who I've had the opportunity to lead to Christ, and I've asked myself, what would have happened if I hadn't come here 4 years ago? What would have happened if 15 years ago I made a different decision for Christ? I was with some real close friends last night who God has used me in their life, and they were going around the room just sharing some things about me, and I really, it was very hard to take. But at the same time, I have to share with you, as Paul said, who is my joy, my crown, my glory, in which I glory in Christ? Is it not you? Yes, it is you. All that really matters are other people. Live your life for other people. You will be the happiest, most fulfilled, most dynamic individual that you ever dreamed you could be if you will give your life for other people. This is what God's asking you to do. I want to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to close this morning in prayer. And God is, I know God is speaking to your heart this morning. I know God is asking you, what will you do with your life? I don't care today. God does not care what you've done with your life. What God cares about is now you know. Isn't this great? You found out today how you can make your life count. How you can make your money count. How you can make your home count. Use it to be hospitable. Use it to share with others that they might come to Christ. What God is asking you now is, will you do it from now on? if you're 60, if you're 80, if you're 20, if you're 12, if you're 35, if you're 25. It doesn't matter what age you are. What matters is, what will you do with this decision today that God is asking you to make? Your life, my friends, remember, passes by much too quickly to spend it on trivia. To spend it in the pursuit of meaningless things. Things that will never last. People last. People matter. They matter most to God.